Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. This is three astrologers who gather together on a lovely Monday night, and we talk about the heavens, what's going on in them astrologically, and we give you our update and our sense of what you can anticipate in the week ahead. So my name is Ann Ortley, and I am talking to you from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and I'm joined tonight by...
This is Mark Wolf, and I'm up at Columbus Circle, and the moon is right above me. Great big bright moon.
And you're outdoors?
So you... Yes, I'm outdoors.
Oh, how cool.
It's very nice. It is cool, but it's a warm cool.
Oh, I'm jealous.
So,
you're looking at the moon. Wow.
Yeah, it's beauty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
when, you know, everybody knows it was full yesterday, right? In Aries. And that starts off our week right there.
Yes, a brand new full moon in Aries. Yeah, totally. I have to say it was pretty good. We Heather is en route, so hopefully she'll be joining us for those of you who are waiting for us to go. Heather in North Dakota, so well, hopefully she'll be joining us soon. So, and Mark's obviously outside in the in Manhattan somewhere looking at the moon. I'm jealous. I'm sitting here on my desk. Well, I mean, you know, it's fine. I'm in my pajamas, so that's a good thing. But, yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about the weather, and let's talk about the full moon in the week ahead. So what do you see in the week ahead, Mark?
Well, we've got that full moon, and that really does carry us into the week very nicely. And it's the first full moon with the fall season, so it always sets up a big energy. And we talked about it last week, how much... is going on with this moon. And, you know, a lot going on with the personal planet. We have that yod in it and all that. So we're all feeling that. And, of course, everybody's recovering from the Mercury retrograde. I think Mercury was more retrograde for me this week than it was during the whole 3 weeks it was officially retrograde.
Right.
And that's typical for me. First part of a retrograde, I never really feel it. And then usually the third week I feel it. I didn't feel it that much the third week this time. And then this week, typical, like you would think it was retrograde. Everything. So,
well,
you never know.
Yeah. I think because it was also with the, with Saturn and Uranus, you know, it's been a busy little Mercury, you know, because he's been talking to Saturn and Uranus. This is his third pass this week. So, you know, back and forth over them, you know, because he entered Virgo and he caught... You know, he had joined with Saturn, then he caught with Uranus, then he joined with Saturn. Then he got up and he talked to Pluto. And then he backed up and he went back to Saturn and then back to Uranus. And now he's back over Uranus, back over Saturn, and then next week he's on to Pluto. So he's been a busy little Mercury because he's in charge of Saturn. And it's just, I just have felt this has been a very cranky kind of, you know, September was difficult and... it didn't seem to get much better once Mercury went direct, which I always kind of anticipate, oh, it'll be easier now. But I think you're right.
Right.
He's just kind of irritable. Plus,
yeah.
he rules.
He's still in his shadow.
Yeah, he's still in his
still
shadow.
In shadow.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And also, Venus is in Virgo still, and she's ruling, you know, she's cranky too. So everybody's cranky. Lots of love.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of relationship breakups. What have you been noticing in the world?
Well, a lot of testiness.
Testiness, okay.
You know, yeah. Yeah, people just, nobody quite settling for what's in front of them, wanting to adjust everything, which I think has a lot to do with the yod that's in this full moon. But, you know, big sense of adjustment. Nothing's quite right.
Right.
You know, everything gets... Went back to the kitchen. Do it again.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's not making me happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's that sent back to the kitchen analogy is good because it's kind of like, I'm not happy with this. It's like, okay, what do you want? I don't know, but I'm not happy with this. Okie dokie. So, and the moon in Aries, the moon in Aries is impatient, you know.
Right. It'll be nice when it goes into Taurus.
Yes. Well, it went into Taurus this afternoon.
That's right. Okay, yeah, so we're already in Taurus.
And Taurus has nice closing aspects, so Tuesday and Wednesday should be good. And then it closes with the trine to Saturn, because the moon in Taurus is exalted, so we always like the moon in Taurus, because it's an easy moon, and it makes us a little more happy. And then when the end of the week, moon gets into Gemini, and that's kind of a testy week, too, because when she's in Gemini, she's going to square all those Virgo planets. So she's going to square Venus, and she's going to square Mercury, and she's going to square Saturn, and she's going to square Uranus, and she's going to square Pallas Athena, and so she's just irritated. So.
Yep, everything back to the kitchen. So.
Yeah. And we also have Mars coming to the south node, so when that happens, often there's a sense of release, or there's a sense of losing something, or letting something go. So a lot of times when that takes place, and it also is going to be triggering the eclipses from July, so the story from July will be back up again, the one that took place kind of mid-month, so... Just a lot of cranky.
Yeah, we may be releasing stuff still from that eclipse.
Yeah.
Maybe at a time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of a cranky, crabby energy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like, when we were talking before the show, we were kind of like, we're both kind of in a cranky mood, so why don't we just do a half-hour show tonight? Because it's like, and I also think with it, Saturn's coming to square Pluto, so there's this whole adjusting energy that's going on, because he's only 3 degrees away from him. So we're also feeling a lot of that, too. At least I've been noticing it, stuff that's been back up with, wanting to restructure things and reorganizing things and then feeling like I'm running into roadblocks or oppositions around it, How do you...
Yeah, and that Saturn square Pluto, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, we will feel that coming in. The actual exact square is when, middle of November?
It's in November. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll look at the date.
So we're a little ways off yet, but I think we do feel it coming in. And we'll certainly feel it the minute Saturn sets foot in, Libra.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The minute Saturn sets foot into Libra, we'll feel it very strongly. And, because it's headed right into the square then. And that's going to bring up a lot of issues over power and authority. And so that's part of this crankiness and testiness that's going on now, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are, in general, not just accepting what some authority says or what the rules are. There's a lot of, how come?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Prove it. Show me. all of that going on.
Mm-hmm. Who made you in charge? Why are you the boss? Yeah. Well, it's like, the 15th of, it's the Saturn square is on the 15th of November. So it's big. It's very clear and strong and bold, and that's the day the square happens. But Saturn also is in the last degrees of Virgo. So whenever a planet's in the last degrees it of any sign, it makes for a super-duper version of that sign. So, we look at the Virgo part, which is kind of like there's a lot of tasks, there's a lot of stuff we feel like we have to do. Like I finally got my taxes into the accountant today because like October 15th, these are like 2008, And I'm like, I haven't done my taxes yet. But I, just kind of kept extending and like, okay, now Ann, you have to do them. And it's Saturn in Virgo. There's like the endless tasks. There's not enough time. And Virgo is critical, cranky, irritable. And, it's stomach issues and, kind of energy. So it's definitely one of those weeks where it's like, oh, please, leave me alone. So. You there?
Well, I'm glad you got the taxes in.
Well, what it was I owed money, and I'm just like, oh, man, I don't even want to know what I owe. I sent him into the accountant, and I put a check in with the name of the firm, and then I left it blank, So she emailed me, because I like the blank check. I said, yeah, well, just so you know, there's not a lot of money in the account, Don't go running away with that. Don't think you're David Letterman getting $2 million from me. But I was like, I couldn't remember what it was. I think it was like $300 or something last time. And I thought, it's got enough in it to cover that, so that's okay. She can have a blank check. So, but yeah. She's a very nice, nice accountant. When you trust your accountant, that's a good thing. But yeah, I was just
yeah,
like, I, you know,
but
I'm sitting
with Saturn
here.
And Saturn and Virgo, that works out fine.
Right.
You get the right number with Saturn and Virgo.
Yeah, low number. We have lots of taxes we have to pay. I got Saturn and Scorpio on the 8th. I just do not have any adductions. So, yeah, but in the Saturn in the last degree of Virgo, what we do is we often find that people are super Virgo-y. And so while we love our Virgos, and I am a Virgo, so I love Virgos, we can be critical, waspy, cranky, irritable. You know, you painted the wall great, but there's a spot right there. We find the flaws. So everybody's going to be in major fault, flaw-finding mode for the next couple of months, the next month or so, while Saturn's in the last degrees of Virgo. And he doesn't leave there until the end of October. He goes into Libra, I think on the 29th, right? When's he going to Libra? Yeah, on the 29th.
All right.
Yeah. So we're in super-duper Virgo critical mode. You know, on a higher note, say, okay, you gave me 3 criticisms, now give me 5 things that would make it better. You know, that helps, but otherwise it makes for people feeling very sensitive and picked on and not loved. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually it's a time to be very aware of how we hand out criticism, mm-hmm. and ask what will be the effect. Because the criticism is probably right, mm-hmm. you know, the fault that we see, that's probably true. Mm-hmm. But why not start with something good about the project,
right.
you know, something good or some way of saying thank you. And by the way, I wonder if we could change this or, you know, are you really committed to that? Because I would rather have it this way, you know, that kind of thing. It makes the criticism easier to deal with. Whereas when the first thing out is criticism, that feels right with Saturn and Virgo, but it has that effect of being very, very nitpicky and not taking into account the whole perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels heavy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can lighten that up. We have that choice. And it'll still come out with Saturn and Virgo, but it just, you know, put the good news first, you know, like the good news.
That's assuming there is good news, right, Mark?
Right. Let's start with the good news.
The good news is, yeah, there's bad news and good news. Which do you want first? Give me the good news. Well, the good news
right.
is the bad news is really bad.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely.
And here it comes.
Mm-hmm. And here's the bad news, yeah. So when we watch that finger of God, you know, I think we want to talk about that because it's still in the sky. You know, it's going to be there for this. It's going to kind of deform this week or release over the week. So the finger of God also what it's doing because it's involving the nodes and because Saturn's also trining the North Node or just finished a trine to the North Node, it's asking us about our direction and where we're heading. And the North Node in Capricorn, you know, the last couple years it was in Aquarius, so that was all about changing our hopes and dreams and what our, you know, adjusting our dreams and hopes and coming up with a new set. And now that Saturn, the North Node's moved into Capricorn, the Capricorn Node says, okay, well, what do you want to build? You know, now that you've changed your dream or you've adjusted your dream, what do you want the future to look like? And, you know, I think when we look at the economic meltdowns and stuff like that in the world, one of the things that people have done is they've said, well, gee, I used to have this dream. And that kind of went out the window with my investment accounts disappearing or my job falling apart or the financial industry collapsing or me losing my house. And so now what do I want my new dream to look like? And it's kind of a time, this is, I think, with the North Node and the trine to Saturn with the finger of God pointing at Neptune, it's asking us to say, okay, what does that dream look like? What's your vision for yourself? And I think one of the things that might be helpful and make everybody a lot less cranky is if they sat down and they said, okay, so let's revision what's really important to me, what calls me. And Mars is in Cancer coming to that south node. So I always find with Mars in Cancer that one of the things people are really concerned about is their security and, you know, and how it's going to all work out. So the Mars in Cancer part really needs comforting, you know. It needs you to hold its hand and to say, it's going to be okay, you're going to be fine. You know, you're alive, you have your health, you have, you know, the ability to do things. Tomorrow's another day. You know, it's kind of a Scarlett O'Hara Mars. You know, tomorrow will be another day. I'll think about it tomorrow. But it also is it's an energy about wanting to preserve what is really truly important to you, what's truly of value that makes you feel secure. So watch when you're working with that Mars in Cancer, what it's responding to, you know, because sometimes with the finger of God, it can feel like it's being threatened, but it really isn't. What's being threatened is your sense of security, and your job is to kind of look and say, well, is that really what gives me security? What actually does give me security? So, you know, I was thinking about that when I was looking at that full moon, because the finger of God in a moon is always big, because, you know, the light of the full moon lets us see things, but the finger of God, like, points to stuff and says, wait, wait, don't forget to notice this. And it's on Neptune. Neptune is our dreams. Neptune is our hopes. And Neptune's at 23 saying, you know, what's your dream from when you were 5 or 6, when you were 3, when you were 2? What was your dream? What made you feel hopeful and secure? What did you want when you were 23 or 24? What was that dream? Where are you now? And I just find it's an interesting resonance, because it's about, well, what is the dream you have? And how do you want to move towards it now? So.
Yeah, and it's about letting go of the ego involvement, too. Because with that finger of God, we're trying to work the will of Mars with how we communicate and how we think and, you know, all the energy of Mercury, and direct them toward Neptune. And Neptune is where we rise above the personal and individual. And with Neptune being in Aquarius, that's especially true. So we're really asked, you know, to rise a little higher and go beyond what our little individual will is, and let our will serve something that's higher, something that fulfills not it's my dream on one level, and on another level, it's not me; it's something beyond me. So it's a cultural dream or a group dream, the dream I share with my peers. And we have Uranus kind of hanging in that picture, too.
And yeah, because he's in 23, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that little resonance with Uranus in Pisces is also part of the dream and part of... a more universal vision. So we're asked to pull all of that together with what it is we want to communicate ourselves. And so the thing to do, if you're feeling any need to, like, really get your communications going, really put some energy into it, you have the energy to do it. And what will help you direct it is to pay attention to your dream, and also to the dream that goes beyond you and links with other people who share that vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there's so many planets at that degree. You know, Mars is there, Juno and Uranus are there, Neptune, the node, the North Node and the South Node, and then Saturn and Mercury are there. And Venus is coming in strong because she's at 19, so she's catching up. And so it's a lot of energy at that little stellium kind of talking to each other. And Mercury and Uranus are having kind of an argument. You know, Mercury's saying to Uranus, well, I don't really agree with the way you're thinking. You know, I don't really agree with the changes you're proposing. I'm going to go over here and hang out with Saturn, because he joins with Saturn in a couple of days. And I'm going to hang out with Saturn. I don't like what your changes are. And then Uranus is going to go direct in a couple of months, in a month or so. And when he goes direct, he's going to say, yo, guys, you know, like, change is inevitable. You got to change. And at that point, Saturn will be going retrograde, and he'll be going, oh, dear, I don't have the power. I guess I do have to change. So right now, the conservative side of you is winning, because the Saturn part is going, I really don't want to change. I want it to stay the same as it's been. I like it the way it is. You know, leave me alone, go away, growl, growl. You know, you're making all these suggestions, and I think they're really stupid, Virgo. And, I can tell you all the reasons why it's not going to work. And because Uranus is retrograde right now, he doesn't really have any power to say to Saturn, but honeybee, even if you don't think it's going to work, it's got to change. And mm-hmm. So there's this sense of almost like a irritation with the old way, because the old way isn't working anymore, but the change direction isn't apparent, because Uranus is backwards right now, and Uranus is going, okay, you don't want to change, fine, go ahead, sit like that. And then you go sooner or later, you go, okay, well, you know. I mean, I always kind of feel like when the planets fight that they're having kind of a little temper tantrum, especially when it's like five times, like they're fighting these two or fighting five times. You know, they had a fight in November and then in February and then they had one last month and then the next one's in April. And so when they're arguing like this for so long, you know, it's almost like a couple of married, you know, an old married couple who are bickering about who's going to take out the garbage or the trash. And right now, the cranky old guy's winning, you know. He's going, I took the trash out yesterday. Why don't you rinse those cans out and pile them, and maybe I'll take it out at the end of the week. You know, and Virgo's going, no, you have to take it out now. And it's like, I don't want to change. I don't want to take the cans out again. It requires movement, you know, and it's that kind of energy, like feeling very frozen. So, and fingers of God, I think. Don't you think that they make you feel frozen? At least they always made me feel frozen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can often set up a paralysis because we feel uncomfortable with where we are with it, but we're not sure quite how to move. Everything doesn't seem quite right. And, you know, so it's kind of like, I don't know, feeling your way across the room in the dark, and you're trying to remember where you put things so you don't stumble on them, and you realize, well, I can't remember everything. I have to feel with my toes and, you know, try to find my way across this room. So it's a kind of a shifting balance and not being sure where we're going. And the result of that can often be just, let me just stay where I am until the sun comes up. You know?
I'm just going to sit in the rocking chair and rock. Thank you very much. And Kat, you better move
your head. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
And you can't make me. Yeah, no, definitely. It's that kind of feeling. I also was noticing at the end of the week, Venus is going to be opposite Uranus. And, you know, when that happens, that's often to me a breakup aspect. You know, people break up when they have fights or they say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And because she's in Virgo right now, you know, she's also speaking for the greater vision of what we want, you know, how Libra is functioning. So Libra, even though the sun is in Libra, Venus is in Virgo going, no, I'm really not ready to make a deal with you right now, you know, because Virgo counts. And Libra is about, no, well, let's share. Virgo's like, I don't want to. It's mine. She can be a little like Taurus on a bad day. It's mine.
Yep.
You can't have it. And so when she's opposite Uranus this week, you know, this is like a big breakup week, too. I think you're going to have a lot of relationships busting up with Venus opposite Uranus. Or unexpected breakups or unexpected separations. Because she has... What?
The good news is, if you already had your breakup, you're likely to find some new interest.
That's true.
It will do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. The new one comes in, and you get that little glimmer in your eye, and you go, ooh, aren't you cute, you know, with a glint in your eye.
Yeah. And it'll be by surprise.
Right,
it
right,
comes
right.
With Uranus.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I've been having more people talking about breaking up this week. So, you know, it seems to be the big breakup week. I have a friend who's in Yale, and he was saying, everybody's breaking up. All the relationships are going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and he's got Uranus in aspecting his Venus, so he's trying to start a relationship up, you know. I said, well, you know, they're all breaking up, but you're ready to go because he's got Uranus-Venus aspect. So, and she sounds cute.
That could kick in this week then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it's good. And then when we get to the weekend actually is pretty nice because the moon's in Cancer and the sun trines Jupiter. Mercury does square Pluto, so the words can be a little sharp still, you know, because Mercury is going to have entered Libra and then squares Pluto. But remember, he's also the messenger, so he can travel between the different worlds. And he's gone back and forth three times across Uranus, Saturn, and Pluto, kind of linking them up and carrying messages from one to the other. Now, in a couple weeks, Saturn's going to square Pluto, so he's going to be talking to him himself. But right now, Mercury's carrying messages to Pluto. So we want to watch what those messages are, particularly on the weekend on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the moon is pretty active and quite busy with a lot of the water planets and the earth planets. She joins with Mars, too. She's occulted by Mars. So we have a – and the moon goes into the south node, of course. So that often is releasing energy on Sunday. So it can be very profoundly emotional on Sunday this week too. So just kind of be kind to yourself. So do you have any?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it sounds like a week of kind of a little bit frustrating, a little bit irritating, you know, shifting around and releasing and seeing some things go that time for them to go.
Mm-hmm. Say farewell, so long, goodbye, and get rid of them. Send them off into the dark.
Right.
Yeah. So any other advice you'd give to people on this week and how to live with it?
No, I think we've pretty well looked at what's going on. Yeah, and just keep one eye on that Saturn square Pluto that is coming in. Because we're beginning to hear that stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Kind
so
of
might as well be a little bit ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah. And for the Saturn square Pluto, what you want to do is go back and look at when Saturn argued with Pluto before. Because this is the closing square. So it's a consciousness square. You're supposed to figure something out. Now, when I say that, people go to me, what the hell? Those were horrible times. What do you mean I'm supposed to figure something out? But you're supposed to figure something out. So I want you to go back and think about what was going on in November of 1982, fall of 82, because that was when Saturn and Pluto joined. And then in 1994, they had a fight. So there was some kind of change then between the group, because Saturn was in Aquarius and Pluto was in Scorpio. They were having a fight about the tribe and the group and around transformation and power. And then in 2001, Saturn was in Gemini and Pluto was in Sagittarius. We know, of course, that was the World Trade Center. And if you remember, 82 was the bombing of the Marine Beirut, and the 94 was the bombing of the World Trade Center. So this one, the opposition is in Gemini, Saturn in Gemini, opposite Pluto and Sag, the local mind versus the big picture. And now this one is going to be Saturn in Libra saying partner, partner, back to the partner energy, squaring Pluto and Capricorn, the structures that you build and the things that you think are important. So those stories are all going to be integrating. So if you look back and think about what was going on in your life in those years and pull those times forward, I know for me they represented changes in the structure of my life. In 82, my mom died. In 94, my relationship of 14 years ended. In 2001, I left corporate America to become an astrologer. So I'm kind of looking and going, well, the structure of my life's going to change, hopefully positively, but those other ones, they didn't really feel so good. Well, the leaving corporate America, leaving corporate America felt good, but my office was 2 blocks from the Trade Center. So I was kind of like, I don't want to go down there with all the dead bodies. The hell with this shit. I'm going to go be an astrologer. You know, for all of you, it's like thinking back on those times and coming up with what the psychological change was or what the change was, because you're now going to be going into the psychological integration of the changes from 82, 94, 2001. And if you work on it in that level, you can maybe process it on a different level so it doesn't have to be quite so event-based. But it is a closing square, so there are going to be things that happen and change in your life. But also closing squares very often are when the universe asks us to look back at our life and think about, well, what did that mean in the bigger picture? What was the bigger purpose of that? So that's the other thing to start thinking about now as we're moving forward into this next new chapter. So that's
all right.
Yeah, so that's all I have. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. I think we're going to just
ready for the week.
I think we're just going to do a half-hour show tonight, folks. We're
yeah.
both kind of feeling a little irritated, you know? I'm ready for bed. My eyes are tired. Mark was hanging cabinets all day. And the walls were crooked. And so
right.
So I think it's like, okay, bedtime, you know? So we wish you a lovely evening and a good week. And we'll, of course, be back next week at 11 o'clock on Monday. And
very good.
You want to take it home and tell them who we are and how to contact us?
Okay, we are Access Astrology. And you can always find us at our website, astronyc.com. That's A-S-T-R-O. NYC.com, and it's Heather Roan Robbins, who will be with us next week.
We hope.
And Mark Wolf. Yeah. This is Mark. And
And Ann Ortley. And Mark's outside looking at the moon, and I'm at my bright red desk, and I'm going to hang up and turn off my computer and go to bed.
All right.
So have a nice week, folks, and hang in there. Remember, Monday, Tuesday, easy. Wednesday, middle, kind of. Thursday, Friday. Friday, stressful, very stressful. Saturday, Sunday, release. And next week is Columbus Day weekend, so have a great weekend if you've got the day off on Monday. And have a good drive carefully. So I think that's all.
Okay.
Yeah, so good night.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.